Today on the podcast, we've got the one and only Coach Mahoney. He was my assistant coach at Michigan, the guy that recruited me. What's going on, Coach?
How are you, Stu? It's great to be on, man. I've been waiting and waiting. I've been passed up. Somebody must have canceled. following Nancy, this is big time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This will be a good segue from the last podcast episode, because I hit you up and you're like, yeah, I got a response. You have your side, because you were the main guy that recruited me.
Yeah.
So you have your side of that whole story.
It's a show on TV, Ordinary Joe, I think. It shows different, if this happened in life. So this is our side of the story, and yeah, seeing Nancy's, it was great.
Yeah. No, but you could imagine it was like that with Nancy.
Yes. And your dad, I told you, I texted you with your dad. I still remember that.
Yeah, go through that, because that was the time we came up. Me and my dad went up to Ann Arbor. We met with you guys. And
you want to start there? You want to start way in the beginning? How I found Stu.
Okay, let's do that. Let's start there.
So we get the job at Michigan from West Virginia. And, you know, so we're going to go recruiting. And I remember Coach Beilein was at LeBron James camp up in Akron. And I was going to do this top 100 in Indiana. And I was there a long time ago, but I was at Robert Morris. So it wasn't really I couldn't get the big guys, whatever. So anyway, when you get there, every coach knows what style. And they're like, oh, you know, all the shooters are there and the skilled players. So somebody said, hey, there's a kid here, Stu Douglas. I said, Stu Douglas? He goes, yeah, Carmel High School. He goes, perfect for you guys. I'm like, all right. So I remember watching you guys, I think in the top 100, you guys did the skill sessions and drills first.
Yeah.
And I found you, and I was watching you. I'm like, all right. But, you know, how you are and how you became. Yeah. You know what? Well, no, you know how you are. You know, people would say you didn't care. It wasn't you didn't care. You did care. You just didn't worry about all the other shit. But that's where I saw you. I saw you there. The guy next to me would keep hitting me. He goes, hey, Douglas, just hit another three. Just hit another three. I'm like, dude, I texted Beilein. I said, you need to get down here. I said, there's 100 kids here in this damn camp that we should be recruiting.
Yeah.
You know, because they were all good. You know, and I always said, we can let Indiana, Notre Dame, Purdue, all those Indiana schools, you take the first pick. We'll wait till you're done and get the next guys, because there was just so much talent there. But, you know, you fit everything we wanted to come down to it, everything we needed at the time. And to be honest, you know, nothing against you. When we got there, we're trying to get those top-level kids, but Michigan wasn't relevant then, and no one wanted to go there. You know, the Plumleys wouldn't. They give you time. They were polite, and it was a great school, but they weren't going to choose us. And, you know, the Zellers and those guys. And, you know, I'm recruiting Clay Thompson. And, you know, we had Clay on and Draymond Green. Mike was recruiting Draymond and all that. So, you know, when they started to fall, Kyle Keurig, and that's how we got Zach, is because Kyle. When Kyle left, that opened that up for Zach.
Interesting.
Mike Jackson goes, John, what about that kid in China? I said, he's 6'3". He can't play the wing. But, you know, it's, everything works out though. But it was that's how we got you. And then the story from there, you know, watching you in the summer, and, you know, I always said you had big balls, and I love that about you. I think I took the first time I took Beilein to see you, or was it, I can't remember, but I remember one time we're watching you in a state tournament on the Pacers court. And you took a shot, I think, about two steps across half court. He just came across and just jacked one. And he just went like that. I was laughing. I said, he's got big balls. I told you. I said, the dude doesn't care.
Yeah, I like, you know, those shots, man. I wanted to take more of those.
You're wide open. I'm open.
Exactly.
You had a relief pitcher's mentality. You didn't give a shit, I thought, anyway. And I still use you as an example today with all my kids that are supposedly shooters. I said, you got to have Stu Douglas attitude, man. Fuck, I don't give a shit. I'm shooting the next shot, you know?
Yeah.
What do you mean I missed 10? So what? It doesn't matter.
No,
you know, you have to have that to be a great shooter, and you were a great shooter.
Oh, yeah. No, it was like that was an internal battle. My mom always taught me, fake it till you make it. And it was like internal battles, but like, keep acting like you're a shooter and you're confident, and because you got to take those shots. If that's your role, you got to be the guy spaces the court. So
you did it well, but tell me, came with our Indiana kids. But it, you know, we got with you guys, and I think with you, what happened was we weren't getting those stars. And even though coach didn't care if we did, I think the perception to the fans, you know, we better you know, bring these kids in. And yeah, and I think that I can't, he never ever said that, but I think I could have been it. I think we got Ben Cronin.
Yeah.
Right. So Ben was there, and who else was your class before Zach and you?
It was me, Mogridge, Zach, Ben, right? and Corey that was walking on. And that was it.
Oh, what a class.
I never forget.
It was a great class.
We got there on campus for summer school. And I think I've told this on the podcast before, but we get there and the football team is there, and it's all like football and basketball players. And they're talking to me and Zach, they're like, you guys are walk-ons? Like, nope, we're on scholarship. Thanks, guys. I was like, and then from then on, it was like a vendetta against those guys. Then I go watch, I watched all those guys drop like flies from the program. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's what I thought.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was, I remember the first day of summer school also. So
yeah,
that was a good day. But yeah, it was. And it was, you know, the trying times of getting you to that point, you know, it just wouldn't pull the trigger. And, you know, coach always took forever on kids. He never, you know, he got to come on campus to get an offer, yes, all those things. And, you know, just kept going. And you have to understand. So you had me, Mike, and Jerry, and we all have our kids that we're promoting. So I got to keep going in and take up mind space and, hey, you know, just do this, you know, and Mike's doing it with his kids, nothing against anybody. We're just trying to get our guys in. And I remember your dad said, hey, we're going to come up for a visit. That impromptu visit. And I'm like, oh, okay. I said, hey, you know, Stu's dad and Stu are going to come up for a visit. You guys want to get it done.
Yeah.
And it was a long drawn out process, and he wasn't having it. Why? I said, I walked you and your dad out to the parking lot. And I still remember your dad, Mahoney, you're fucking killing me. You're killing me. I'm sorry.
I'll never forget it. Cause it was so candid and like, it was so honest and open. And I was like, oh, that's where we're at with this Michigan relationship. It was like, we got that honesty, and you kind of understand like where you're at, but like, come on guys, let's figure this stuff out.
Yeah. It was tough though. And I that's the only thing I can think of. It's like, oh crap, we're going to get perception. We're going to have all these kids and we have no 3-5-star kids in his class and that, but you know, when you go back, what did we need? We needed toughness. We needed skill. We needed shooting. You know, and that's what you brought, you know, you brought that to the table, and you know, it doesn't matter what he has. And, you know, it all worked out in the end and that, but I saw more of you and talked to you more than the coach did. So it was just me trying to relay that back to him. And you proved me, you made me look good.
Yeah.
Except for the first practice when you were late.
Oh yeah. There was the two times. Thought I was going to get kicked off the team for being late twice. Like, I go overseas and it's like showing up late is on time, you know. So I'm like, what totally is going different on over here?
Well, the thing is, when you recruit a kid and you bring him in, when he gets in trouble, it's like you got in trouble.
Oh,
so yeah, you were late. I was late. It's like, come, he's yelling at me. He's getting on me. I'm like,
I brought him here. Now he's yours.
I'm done. I'm not responsible no more. You know, but that's how it was. You're always, you know, you always look, you know, with Darius, you know, I'd be responsible for him. It was tough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But walk me through. I'm interested because we never talked about this, but the final decision where you're like, okay, let's offer Stuart the scholarship. Like, I know there was a list of guys that had to say no, but like, what was like the last straw? I always pictured it was Tanner Smith.
It might have been. I can't remember. I got to get out of this sun. This Florida sun's killing me. I can't remember. I know Draymond Green was on there. Kyle Couric, Clay Thompson, Bob Smith. No. No, it wasn't that. I don't know what I know the Kyle is when I broke a straw. They're like, oh crap, we gotta really focus here and do what we gotta do. But I don't remember where you were on that list. But it wasn't to me. You were higher. You were higher on my list. You know, I did have Clay. Great home visit with Clay Thompson. You ever got another story about that? But that really? that was crazy. You know, Clay never talked, right?
Yeah,
he was just never talked. So when you recruited him on the phone, you had to get psyched to call him. because it took 5-10 minutes for him to start warming up. And that was the same thing. So we did a home visit, go to, you know, his house, and mom and dad. And let me retract. So when we brought him in for the official visit, mom wasn't coming. And then I think Tuesday night she says, "Hey, I'm coming on a visit." And I'm like, "Yes, you know, mom's coming. We're going to get this done."
Yeah.
You know, moms are the greatest, but, it wasn't that way. It was the opposite. You know, there's a reason why Clay doesn't talk, because mom talks for him. You know, I don't know who was his host. I don't know if Manny was his host or Petey or somebody was his host. But the first night we go to the seafood house, right? And he wants to go back to the hotel. And I'm like, "Oh, you're killing me. You know, you want to go back to the hotel, you know?" And I'm miserable and thinking he's not liking it and all that. And, you know, we get up next morning for the football game, take the golf cart over to go, pick him up. And I'm sitting in the lobby like this. His mom comes out. She's all bubbly. She goes, "How are you?" I said, "I'm not doing good." She goes, "Why?" I said, "He's not having fun." She goes, "He's having a blast. He loves it." I said, "How do you know?" She goes, "All the parents back home in California are telling me. He's telling all their sons." So he left with a Michigan sweatshirt on, but, anyway, we went out there to do his home visit. We go in, and Michael's there, and Michael was very hard on Clay, very hard on him, and, wanted him to be all CIF, and, you know, kind of got, you know, argument in there, and I think we're in there 40 minutes, and B-line's going like this, "Let's go to the door." I'm going, "No, we're staying here." So we were in there about an hour, we left.
Dang.
Because of the bad tension in the room between the family.
Just because, like, where like they wanted Clay to go and just like different.
No, it was normal. They wanted, I think we could have got him, you know, it just, if we didn't leave early.
Yeah.
But who knows? So, but he just, their dynamic was a little bit crazy, but it was fun recruiting him, but it was hard at times. But, getting back to you, when you and your dad came up, I just felt so bad, you know, and I just like, and I knew where it was like, we were close, but he just couldn't pull, you know, he wouldn't pull the trigger. I felt we were getting there. And that's when you were coming up. It wasn't, I would have kind of held you off and said, "Hold on, this is a bad day," or, you know, made some excuses, but I really thought we were going to get it done. And we didn't that day.
Which is funny because, you know, Beilein loves the guys that like want to be there.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
But it is that, I get it. Like looking back, I had no real perception of recruiting classes and how it looks for a coach. And it's like me and Novak are like the top guys because Ben gets hurt. It's like, "What the hell are you doing, John?" Like, what? Yeah. Coach Beilein, like, what is going on here? And it worked out great, but it is, that was not that was not reassurance for the fans, put it that way. That took a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys think when you like recruited our class and then during that sophomore year, we had a bad year of sophomore year. Now we did well in my freshman year and exceeded expectations, but that you thinking, okay, we're going to get this train rolling. And then after sophomore year, you know, what was going like, what's the like thought there? Cause I ended up leaving. But like that whole pressure must have been.
I got pushed incredible. Out. What do you mean leaving?
Right.
I got the brunt of it, you guys.
Right.
No, it was we felt we were going to be better. You know, we felt
we were
Manny and Petey back, you guys back another year and all that. It just didn't. You know, I think that I felt the dynamics weren't there. In a locker room maybe and all that, but you know that was that year. That was Darius's first year, right?
Yeah.
And it was a tough year of getting there, but we felt, you know, we were going to take that next step, continue to take it. Like we did the second year, that was the third year, my third year, but your second year. Yep. But I could have swore, you know, we would have, but it all ends up.
It does. It all ends up all is well that ends well. So that's
cool.
Do you remember, I was thinking about recruiting stories. Were you part of the Nate Lubick recruitment?
That was me. That was my guy.
Do you remember that story?
But which one?
when Tim McCormick came to the tailgate telling everybody that we left Nate at a club.
No, I didn't hear that. Did you?
Oh yeah, no, no. So Zach hosted him officially, and he was hanging out with us, and Zach wanted help, and so he was like hanging out with me, and then we went out somewhere. I can't remember where we went out. I think it was an 18 plus club, so like it was fine, and I ended up wanting to leave, go somewhere else because that wasn't a cool place. Yeah. And so basically I leave him with Zach, and then Zach, they're like, all right, let's get out of here. And like Nate, I think like goes back to the hotel, but like, I think Zach maybe like dropped him off, like, but kind of like walked away. Like, you know where the hotel is, 'cause it was very close by, and like, didn't like walk him to the hotel. So then it comes back later that the next day, like Nate's dad knows Tim McCormick. And yep. So Tim's like telling people, oh, you left him, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, is this going around right now at the tailgate? Like, this does not need to be going on right now. Like, we do not.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. So
I'm sure I would have heard it.
That pissed us off big time. And then from then on, I was like, Tim is my biggest enemy. Like,
yeah.
Then he was talking crap about us, or like, played some game and he said we're going to lose and we won. And I was like, this guy, I don't know what's going on. He's got a vendetta against us. Calling our games. But yeah, it was like that was like the last time too, but I was like, I'm not being a part of recruiting. And I think you guys knew, like, don't give Stewart
official
visits. You gave me you gave me Stauskas though. What was up with that?
I wasn't there, but I started to recruit because I got Nick from Nate Lubick calls me. So here's how close I get with my recruits, and this is great. When I did this twice. When we brought Nate Lubick in, John Carroll, who was with the Celtics and that, he brought his son in with him. We did breakfast on the 50-yard line of the big house. And I did that twice, him and Clay Thompson.
Ooh.
And we didn't get neither. So Beeline nixed that. No more breakfast.
That's a good idea, though.
It was. And we had the game on, you know, the Ohio State game. We beat them the year before. It was on the Jumbotron. It was perfect. It was cool. You know, but John Carroll loved it. He goes, Mahoney, and he was a college coach forever. He goes, this is the best I've ever seen. This is unbelievable. So coming from him, I was impressed. But yeah, Nate and I got close. Nate called me before he called Beeline to tell him he wasn't coming. He was going to Georgetown, and we cried because that's how we were. He goes, I had to tell you first. And I was hurt, you know, and because I was just, but that we stayed in touch and that, and he called me one day, he goes, hey, I got a kid for you because he's really good. He wants to go to Michigan bad. And that was Nick. And when I left, I was going to hoard all the guys I was recruiting. Tell anybody, but I did tell him for some reason. I gave him his card and I put it on his desk. I said, you need to call this kid. I said, it's a done deal.
Interesting.
You know, but yeah. So you did host him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was hilarious. He, I called him out. He was like one of my first recordings, if not the first one, but he, at the tailgate, he's like telling Beeline's asking him what Nick wants to do at night and blah, 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 small chat. And Nick's like, I just want to, you know, hang out, chill out, maybe come back and get some shots up in Chrysler. And I'm like rolling my eyes. 'Cause I'm, you know, 21 at the time. I'm like, this guy, like, I don't want to deal with this. I think actually maybe I was a senior, so I was like over it at all anyways. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And then he leaves and he's like, oh no, hell no, I don't want to do that at all. So
okay.
we end up going out, and I'm like, Nick was super cool and super chill, and I didn't want to host him, and he like knew that. I'm like, hey, we're gonna go to this house party, Vogrich is there, do you want to just hang out with Vogrich? Because Vogrich is a really great time, and I'm just going to be boring. I'm going to go hang out with my girlfriend. He's like, yeah, I don't care at all. So I was like, all right, peace. I'll see you later. And I just left him. But, you know, everything, I mean, he was obviously a done deal. So, like, who cared at that point?
Yeah. A happy recruit doesn't matter, you know?
No, it doesn't matter.
Who else, right?
He was so good with the flow. And so it's so funny, like, the Michigan success, like, guys like Nick that wanted to go. And then another one that I wanted to ask you about was Tim. Tim was full go, and I remember we were recruiting Casey Prather, right?
Yep.
Casey Prather and South Tim. Carolina. Casey came in. Casey ended up going to Florida, but Casey came in to open gym, and I was like, we need Casey. Like, I want Casey bad. Like, I want to play with Casey. He's a perfect wing. He D's up, plays hard. And that ended up didn't working out, and I was like, I mean, okay, Tim is good, but we don't know about Tim. But, like, Tim showed up at, like, the skills camp,
Yep.
The elite camp, and he had a Michigan tag on his backpack with his name. And I'm like, what the hell is this kid doing? I don't even think we've offered him yet. And sure enough,
no, we didn't.
Out, but like some kids just know exactly what they want, you know, even more than me.
Here's how it came with Tim. So I was recruiting, and I'm in Pittsburgh at the one of the the big events. And one of my ex high school players calls me, said, "Hey, can you do me a favor? Go watch Tim Hardaway Jr. play. He's at the thing." I'm like, "Where's he at?" And he was a sophomore at the time, and he's playing out in some suburb. I'm like, "Oh, are you kidding me? I got to go all the way out there. I'm at the peak where all the top players are at." So I did. I ran out there. He's playing for the Florida Rams. He's 6'2", about 150.
Yeah.
You know, a bad game. And it's just, I'm sitting there like this. I just go over to the AU coach, say, "Hey, tell Hardaway that I Michigan was here to see him." So fast forward, his high school coach, Tim Brown, calls me and says, "Hey, I heard you're looking at Timmy." I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm just going to see him, blah, blah, blah." Well, his coach was a Steeler fan. And I'm a Steeler fan, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And we got this relationship going. So during the season, he'd call me every Monday after the Steeler game and talk. And, you know, "Hey, we're talking about the Steeler game. Hold on, Tim just walked in," and give me the phone, because you're not allowed to call. We never set anything up.
Yeah.
And that's how I got to know him, you know, and go down and see him. And then he's growing. He's 6'3", he's 6'4", he's filled. Yeah. No, I was the only coach in the gym. And it just kept growing and growing. In his senior year, I'm like, "This kid's good." I said, "He has a chance." You know, and still, it was halfway through Christmas I went, and I think it was, God, I think Miami, somebody came in, and Dad was like, no, he ain't going nowhere. He's going to Michigan if he wants. I mean, it was a done deal. If we wanted it, it was done.
That's
but
funny.
Getting him to the camp, you know, I remember sitting up top, and we were playing, the team camp was playing, and he was on the Red Oxen team, the team with no home, high school, and he's balling.
Oh, yeah.
The referees are looking up and being like, "Are you kidding me? You're not going to offer him?"
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, "Coach, we got to get this done." So he goes, "All right, John, we're going to get this done." He said, he has to leave the camp. He has to get off campus and then come back on campus so we can offer him. You can't offer at campus. That's how by the rules he was. I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" So I had to go tell Tim. I said, "All right, you have to pack your bags. We have to take you off. You have to go off campus and come back on campus. And then we're going to talk to you."
Like, did he have to like go stay at night somewhere or just kind of leave?
No. You just have to leave the camp and then come back. So He didn't have to do that. That was the rule. So it was by the rules, and that was okay. And we got him. So it was good. I just wish I was there to see him, because
yeah, he really turned
out to be a great player.
I remember, I can't remember if he was committed or not, but he was going against Brandon Knight in high school, and like they both had 40, and I was like, "Oh, like I think he wasn't committed." And I was like, "They better figure this out before other teams start coming in."
Yeah. No, Dad was good. Dad was I was in there so long. He said the Michigan has first rights. That's where we're gonna go. If they want him, if not, then we'll wait. Because he kept telling everybody, and he, you know, it just started to heat up at the end of the year. But yeah, I was there for that game. It was unbelievable. It was just the other game, Stu, and it was the first year we were in Michigan. So going to see you recruit, you played at Christmas time. I'm trying to think where. It was right before Christmas, because we had Christmas break, and my family, I was going to go back to Pittsburgh, and I wanted to go recruiting. So we played UCLA in an afternoon game. And I think the game was at noon. I had a 3 o'clock flight out of Detroit to go to Indianapolis to go watch you play.
Wow.
Like the 22nd or something. So Matty Dupre got the police to get a police escort out. Because after the game, I mean, I had to get – the game's over too.
Yeah.
I had 1 hour to get from there to Detroit. So that I didn't have to – I watched you play and got up, and then I didn't have to go – I couldn't get back to practice that morning before you let everyone go. So I just went to Pittsburgh back to see my family. So that was good on you.
Yeah, exactly.
I got off the hump.
Yeah. Yeah.
We call it the rock. Getting off the rock.
I remember another story, another that just hit me. One of my favorites with you, because you recruited Darius and you brought him in. And that was a huge recruit for us. Actually, funny enough, I actually remember playing him at the USC Elite Camp. And a couple kids were invited to play open gym with the players. And it was me and Darius. And I remember, and he was younger than me, obviously. And I'm like, "This little scrawny kid is just talking so much. He's so confident." Yep. I'm like, he's good, but I don't know what's going on. And then of course we end up playing together years later, which is hilarious.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. But he shows up on campus for the first day. I think it's the first day of workouts or practice or whatever it is. And his mom and dad come. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, red flag. Like, I don't want to deal with this right now. And you said, mom has a album, a picture album, and you need to go look at it and amuse her. And I was like, coach, I love you. I am absolutely not doing that. Like, we had that relationship where like, you yep. could be like, do this. I'm like, I can't do it. I physically could not bring myself to do it. And I walked right past, and luckily somebody else was looking at it, and I just walked right past out to practice. But that was funny. I was like, man, the things that like coaches have to deal with, even once you get players on campus, like, do you, there's no way you miss that.
No, I don't. I mean, it's great to do, and it was all fun and games yeah. and all that, but you know, where I'm at now is, you know, a lot better too. And you graduated, was at IMG, and I had, my teams were loaded. I mean, I had Division I talent. I had kids playing in a Big Ten and going pros. And so I had all that. And then I had the money to travel all over and without all the headaches, you know,
yeah.
no parents, no recruiting and all that stuff. And I didn't mind the recruiting, because I started to get the niche. And that was one of the things I worried about when I got there. Can you recruit at that level? And, you know, you never had to before that. And just remember Lloyd Carr came into the office, and he was a very nice man, and just talking about, you know, Michigan and things, and it was a lot of help. But he asked me, he goes, who recruits California? I said, nobody. He goes, you need to get somebody in California. He goes, Michigan's big in California. I went, I'll take it. So I took it, and then I'm on Clay, I'm on Kawhi Leonard, I was on Andy Brown, I was on Derrick, I'm on all these top kids, because they would listen, and they would, you know, that we had a lot of weight, you know, USC yeah. wasn't that good, and it was UCLA and whoever else. So
right.
it was fun. And I could leave Detroit at 7:20 or 7:30 in the morning, get out to California at 9. I'd go to class. I'd go to Darius's school, walk around school with him, go watch a practice, go watch a game at night, and then get on a red eye and be back in the office at 7. You know, and only miss a day.
Yeah.
Where in Florida, go to see Tim. I had to book a bunch of things because there was no nonstop. So it was easy, and it was, I had a lot of kids out there in California that we recruited. But Darius was, I was calling kids. It was a summertime, and I remember I had Mike Dixon, a very good player, and I was going to call him next. Yeah. I called Darius, so I said, listen, we need a point guard that's going to win a national championship for us. If you can't do that, don't waste my time. I said, I'm going to call the next kid. He goes, who's the next kid on your list? I said, Mike Dix. He goes, I know Mike. He said, I'm way better than Mike. He said, let's talk. That was theirs. I said, I love
you. You knew exactly what buttons to press there. That was perfect.
Yeah, he was great, man. He was just very cocky. He just wasn't a great shooter. And that was the only thing that, you know, that hurt him with this, but I love going out there and being with him, and you know, his parents were great, and
it was good. I ended up really great with Darius. I want to get into the school stuff, the 212 and some IMG stuff, but I want to ask you if there was, Clay was one obviously I just learned, but is there another kid that was like so close, like a Kawhi or somebody, like a big name that ended up like that, where you were?
Yeah, really Kawhi wasn't. Kawhi was quick, and but yeah, we wasn't. I saw him a couple times, but he was, his father, I think, passed away, and mm-hmm. he wanted to stay out on the West Coast.
Makes
that
sense.
Was another. I'm trying to think who else was close. Nate Lubick would be another one. Timmy and all those guys, but I got lucky, you know, recruiting my, all the kids I had came in and played, and we won, you know, you and Zach, Darius, Tim, you know, and I started on Nick, and you know, but so I got lucky, and
you were, you know, good.
No, it was just a relationship. I think if you care, I hope you know I cared about you, and for you know, sure. when I recruited you, I really did. It wasn't a and I'm on the other end now, where coaches are recruiting my kids, and I see right. There's so many bad recruiters out there. It just drives me nuts. And just, you have to develop a relationship of a trust. And, you know, I think you were misjudged because your toughness, you were just so mentally tough and just, but your quietness, you know, you weren't emotional and you weren't, you know, okay, so he's not. why do we have to talk about what he is? And let's talk about what he is.
Right, he's tough.
He can, you know what I mean? And people don't, you know, and I know you guys compared, you are different than Zach, and that's what was perfect about it. You can't have two of you knuckleheads out there bouncing off the walls.
Right.
You know, you had to have some calming voice, and that was you. And that was why, I think that's why you guys had success, is because of that. You know, the two different personalities. And, you know, we always say that you can't have the same types of players on your team. Well, that goes with personalities. You can't have the same, you know, we couldn't have five Zach Novaks. It would be crazy.
Right.
You know, God bless him. He's awesome, man.
No, but you couldn't have five me's. Nothing would get done. Yeah.
Right.
You got to have that balance. And I like, and I don't know if I ever told you, but like one thing I loved about you and I always appreciated was like, I always hated when players were treated the same, and you didn't do that. You pushed everyone the same, but like you could talk to me different than you could talk to other players. And you knew the other players needed to be pushed this way. And I was like, that's what I always appreciated. Yeah. And I thought that's a massive key to managing any personality, whether it's in sports or business or whatever.
And I learned that because, you know, especially today, you know, when I first started coaching, you know, way back in '80s, you know, there was only one way you coached everybody, and you know, it was hard, and that was it. But then, you know, as kid, you evolve and the kids evolve, you can't do that. And it's like today, you know, I got kids that are, you know, we have 21 kids in our post-grad program, and I got 21 different personalities, and they all have to be stroked differently. And it's hard to do, but you got to be able to do it. And I think that's what separates yourself from some of these guys, and you know, that can get it done. But I always wanted to get a relationship with the kids, and because there's so many other coaches calling and doing this, and you know, getting a relationship, getting, you know, more about basketball, what can we do to help you, and you know, learning more about you. Like I said, you know, why we learned about Stu Douglas is, you know, after a while, I'm like, dude can play. You know, he's not just a shooter, which, well, we need shooters, but, you know, you can play defense. And, you know, I forget where you dunked in a game or something I saw.
I got a handful.
Oh, in the summer league. And it was in Vegas or something. Or I forget where
in AAU. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, damn. I texted, the dude just dunked in a game. It was a good one. It wasn't like a breakaway either. I mean, it was like a dunk in a game.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you get up. He's up. You know, you're always trying to promote. Like, here's another thing he did. Look.
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate you being an advocate. But I want
to you have to be.
Yeah, exactly. You were at IMG, and then you started 212 Academy. And what were you doing starting that in the middle of COVID?
Pandemic.
Yeah.
A pandemic, right. I'm crazy. I was going to go to, there's a place up in Haines City called Feltrum, and they started theirs. And I got hired there in March of 2020, right when the pandemic hit. And so I didn't get to start. And as we were moving along, they just weren't organized. And I was doing everything, you know, everything. I'm like, and I just wasn't. My wife's like, what are you doing? Just do your own. I'm like, I can't do my own. She goes, why not? Just do your own. You're doing it anyway. So I called a couple people that I knew, one of the ex-academic guys at IMG. I respect him very much. I said, tell me I can't do this. He's no, you can do this. I'm like, really? Because I'll help you. And then I called a guy who worked at IMG. He's a businessman, very successful businessman in Chicago. I said, Arnie, tell me I can't do this. He said, Mahoney, you can do this. He goes, this is how we're going to do this. So we did it. I had 12 kids in the pandemic year. I didn't take a paycheck, but it was successful. We built it up. And this year we got our high school going. We have a brick and mortar high school with 17 high school kids at Elevation Prep. They go to Elevation Prep school, and then 212 Sports runs that. And then my postgrads, we have 21 kids. So together we have 38 kids. And, you know, 212, I have to say my story. So 211 water's hot, 212 water boils at 1 degree. So what we tell our kids, one extra degree on the game, you know, hustle or extra workout, just one extra thing will change, because when you get to 212, you produce steam. So it changes everything. When you produce steam, it's so powerful, you can move a car or locomotive. So if you can give one more extra degree or extra effort, you're going to be able to move something, yourself or other people. So we do that on the court, but off the court, saying please and thank you can change people and be a good person and all that. So that's what we do with that. And it's worked. We're looking to branch, you know, international. I have a good friend over in Thailand. So 212 may be in Thailand here in the next 8 months. So we've been doing a lot of calls with them over there, and he's going to run it and send kids back and forth. So it's gotten bigger fast. So
I saw you have a lot of international players. Like, where does the recruiting process, you know, when you're starting from scratch, where I know like a lot of these places are popping up. I remember there was a Chris Wilkes was in Indiana, and he like went to like this P.O. box school in California, and like you're not doing that, but like how do you start from scratch? And
there's a lot of them, and you know, post-grad, you don't really have to go to school, but you have to be affiliated with the high school so coaches can come see you. So that's why we attach to this school where our kids, all the foreign kids, have to go to a full-time school. So I have previous recruiting, I have previous relationships with agents over there. So a lot of agents have these kids they're sending over here. So we have 17 high school kids, 15 of them are international. So I've probably 14 or 15 agents from all over Russia and Europe and Israel that we deal with. So, now it's just getting the higher paying kid now because they kept giving me these. No, we can't do that next year. So, and with the post-grads, it's just all my recruiting relationships from before, and that knowing what we have, knowing what we do and how we do it. And, you know, I had Anthony Simons. This is a good story because it ties in B-line. Is Anthony played for me. He was going to go to Louisville. Yeah. And then when Patino got, you know, let go, all that changed. And he's going to go pro. So the GM of Portland comes down to see him, comes to watch us practice. God, I'm drawing a blank now. But anyway, so he walks in and introduces himself and says, hey, I got, we got a little common relationship. I said, what do you mean? He said, I played for Coach Beeline at Lemoyne. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, oh. I said, well, practice is going to be pretty much the same. So what you did then is going to be doing now. So he was like, really? Because I still run two guard. I still run a lot of the drills that we do and all that. I just think it helps our kids go to wherever they need to be and be able to adjust instead of running a set or running flex or something. I think it just helps them read, you know, defenses better. So that's how, you know, he knew after watching a practice what we were instilling in him and helping him with. And, you know, they ended up drafting him in the first round, where I don't know if anyone else would have, but that was, wasn't me. It was because of the relationship, and he knew what we were doing, you know, for him. So you have that to help you build everything up, and, you know, everything's going to get better. We've already got kids committed for next year. We're looking to expand, you know, to tennis and golf and other sports and all that to make it a bigger thing here. So, and what's great about Florida is a lot of people retire here, you know that, but they want to stay busy. So I hired a business guy. All right. I'm not paying anybody. We had 8 people apply for the job. So I'm asking my son, Dolan, who's, you know, he helps run everything with me now. And I said, how do we get it down? So we got it down to 2 people, a woman and a guy. And I liked them both. And they brought 2 different things, you know, to the table. So I said, and I Zoom called the one guy. And then I Zoom called the girl. And then I brought the guy in. And he's sitting here. This is a retired guy who Roger has built small businesses up through his, that's his career. He's built small businesses up. So it's perfect. So I'm not interviewing him. He thinks he's in an interview. I don't know how to interview people. I'm just talking to him. And I look and I can tell he's nervous. And it's at that point of the interview, he starts selling himself. I'm like, oh my God, this dude wants his job. I'm like, Roger, hold on. You know, we don't pay, right? I said, we don't pay. He goes, I know. He was a manager at Penn University way back in the 70s or early 70s, late 60s, when Dick, oh God, the their name coach was there. Digger Phelps was there and all that. So he loves basketball. So I'm like, Roger, you got it. We want you. He was so excited. So I called Dolan. I said, hey, you know, we got a business manager. And he said, okay. He said, what are you going to do with Tina? I said, I can call and tell her that I'm sorry you didn't get the job that we don't pay you for, that you're overqualified for. Yeah. I said, I'm going to call and see if we can work together and we can have two of them working with each other, you know, and doing it. So happy to say they both stayed on. Happy to say we're both paying them. They're both getting paid now, and I'm paid now. So it's evolved. But there's a lot of people here. Bob Oliva, the ex-Duke AD, called me out of the blue when I first started. He goes, hey, I heard you're starting a program. You need help? I'm like, yeah. What can you do?
Crazy. All the connections.
You know, so there's a lot of, you have a lot of resources here.
Yeah.
That you can get help. You know, we have our marketing girl is the same way. So she just wants to expand her portfolio, and we pay her way little, and she does a great job with our marketing and our pictures and all that stuff. So that's a good thing about Florida. You get a lot of people want to stay involved that are, you know, retired.
That's great. Do you know, do you remember the name of the Israeli agent or agents you've worked with? It might be familiar.
Not off the top of my head. I only have one. It was amazing that Omer, you found Omer Poleg.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I was, for the people that don't, I've never told this story, but I was a kid. He was like 17 at that time, maybe 18. He was practicing with us in a team called Ashdod that I played for. And, you know, he's trying to, speaks really good English. And he's like, yeah, I played in America a little bit. And I'm like, okay, where? It was IMG, right? Or did he work out there?
No, he played for me.
Oh, for you? Okay. So yeah. So he was like, no. And I can't remember how like you came up. And I was like, are you serious right now? Like Mahoney? So then we sent a picture to you of both of us flipping you off. And it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But it's just the basketball world, especially in Israel, it's like small America in terms of like.
Yeah. Those but it's a small world.
America.
Yeah, it's a small world, though. It's, you know, but it was funny, though. But yeah, it's just, you know, I still text you guys my Monday morning message, and it's all individual, but it's all individual. It's not a group, you know. And one of my players said, Coach, you know, it's easier if it's a group one, because it takes me almost 2 hours to do all of them. It's almost up to 500 kids. And I got kids that I've coached in the 80s. They're men now. They have kids, you know, that are old too, but still the reason why, Stu, is there's so many kids. You'll get it back and say, Coach, I needed this today. This is spot on. Thank you. I appreciate it. I just got one. I haven't heard from the kid, and I don't care if I hear from anybody, but he goes, Coach, I just want to let you know, Milos is in Serbia. He goes, I just want to let you know, I get these all the time, and I really, really, really do appreciate it. I just wanted to let you know. I said, it's fine. But they're all individual. They're not, because what I want to do is when I look and copy it and paste it, I see the name and then, you know, congratulating you on your engagement, and then I can write personalized. And some of it you don't, some of it you do. So, you know, when Jonathan Isaac got engaged, you know, I did the same thing, and, you know, got to be, Jonathan and I are very close. He just got married. You're having a wedding coming up. You got to take some tips from it was called the Royal Wedding.
Okay.
The Royal Wedding. It was unbelievable.
He got a little more money than me, I think, to afford that.
You're pro basketball players, same thing, right?
I'm cheap. I am cheap, but yeah, pro. Yeah, well, it's a little different but I guess the same words.
Yeah,
I was looking, but it's perfect. Like that fits who you are and like what I've known about you since the day we met, and that sort of like touch. And I was laughing at myself because I was looking at your website and the schedule, and it was like wake up, breakfast, workout,
school,
like something else, like like stretch, and then work out again, and then class, and then workout. And I was like, this is Mahoney to a T. Like I would kill myself if I had to do that, but this is like exactly what like you are built for, almost. I think it's just set up perfectly. So it's cool to see you doing it and having success with it.
No, it's fine. Like I said, I'm my own boss, and you know, I got three assistants. Dolan does everything. And what I'm proud of Dolan is, you know, last time you saw Dolan, he was a little kid playing, you know, pregame shooting around, but he's 23 right now or 24 right now. He's getting married in December, but crazy. I said, you know, this is our second year. What do you want to do? I'm not going to hire anybody until you get what you want. He said, I don't want to do anything. I want to do it all. I want to know everything that you're doing. I want to, you know, so he's helped recruit. He brought in eight of the 21 kids that he had a hand in. He does the marketing. He does the hiring. He does the website. He did, you know, everything's done. You know, how we're paid is like professionally done. It's not, you know, he did all that, you know, so I don't know any of that. I said, that's good, because I'm not going to do this forever. And then you got to take it over and you have to know all of it. So, it's been good. And he's, you know, he's ordered the good equipment and, you know, the travel, he's done all of it. So, you know, and we travel, we go up to New England. We're going to fly up here twice this year, play a national schedule. We were supposed to go to the Bahamas for a tournament, but the COVID shut that down this year. But it's been good. And, you know, we can grow it bigger. And, you know, I work for a guy named Danny Mee at Duquesne. He always used to say, Mahoney, this beats work. I said, it does. This isn't work. This is not work.
That is true. It was so hard to quit basketball because of that. Yeah.
Until they want to fire you.
Yeah. Are you guys playing in the Midwest anywhere?
No, we don't. There's no, I've tried so hard, Stu, to get the Indiana kids. You know, I have contacts there and people are sending me these kids. You got to see this kid. I'm going, oh my God, this kid does a year post-grad with us. He'll have a high major offer. And then he ends up going to NAI. Nothing against NAI or nothing, but that's why Indiana NAIs are so good. They got D1 players playing for them. Those kids are so talented, but they just can't. You know, Indiana kids are hard to leave anyway. I'd say it's a small percentage kids will leave and go elsewhere to play. You know, I think you guys stay in that area.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't like to leave, and it's a shame because they're so good. I keep trying.
Yeah, it's tough. I think the Indiana thing is like, it's such a massive college basketball land that like once you are able to play college basketball anywhere, you're like, well, why would I go?
Yeah.
Why would I not go? Even if it's NAIA, like, cause those kids, there's a lot of diehard high school basketball players here.
It is. And that, you know, every year I talk to, you know, I have parents that, you know, can afford it and all that stuff. So, you know, I would love to have Indiana kids. We keep trying, but it's just hard to get them there. But, you know, we have our niche. I had 3 kids from the same high school in New York because a kid last year came with us and he referred them to us. So that was good on his part. So word of mouth, you know, I'm always conscious. Are we living, you know, is our living safe and clean? Are we eating enough? Yeah. You know, they doing all that. And, you know, we interview our kids a lot. And, you know, just trying to get them ready for college. And I'll tell them, you ain't practicing like a college player. No, you're not doing, do it right.
I mean, right. Because you would know. Yeah.
It's hard. It could be hard on.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's hard enough with like 10 kids, but you got all that. Yeah. I don't envy you, but you're doing good stuff. You're doing God's work basically.
No, it is. It's rewarding. Like I said, I mean, we're in Florida too. Yeah. And you know, it's funny, your mother and dad come down to, Captiva.
Yeah.
My wife and I, we vacationed there and we got engaged there. And then we go to vacation there for 15 straight years. So that's our place. That's just like your mom and dad.
We got to meet you there.
Thing, you know, and that's how we got to here. Cause I told her, I said, you know, when we got the IMG job, she always wanted to go south. And I said, well, I got you south. It's just not, you know, where you want to be, but you know, it's close enough. And it, you know, where we were, Anna Maria Island is beautiful and we love being there. So, you know, right now I'm a little bit south, but they're now in Englewood. So I'm closer. We're closer to Captiva. So every time I see your mother there, I said, she never invites us down. I said, we'll come down and have a cocktail. No, they're always fun to have cocktails with.
I took her to
that Mexican restaurant in Indianapolis. What was it? That bar in Indianapolis. They had a bartender there, and Juan was his name, and he was like famous or something. So we lose to Ohio State. Can we talk about that game?
Oh,
the Ohio State game.
Yeah,
in the Big Ten tournament.
Did
you don't remember that?
Oh yeah. Oh, of course. Oh, it's
so
for many.
Let me finish. So after that game, I'm pissed. Mary and I said, I got to get out of here. I got to go. I need tequila, and that's when we stumbled in this guy, and he gave me some, you know, house margarita. I said, dude, this sucks. I need something better. He goes, I got something for you. And he made us this margarita with habanero peppers. And he called it Hot Lips. And it was so good. And he was great. So when we came in there, I was recruiting somebody in Carmel. And I met your mom and dad there. I took them there. And your mom and dad loved it. But the Ohio State game, remember, didn't you get heat for that?
A little.
Did you get heat?
A little.
Yeah, right?
Hold on.
Go back and look at it?
Hold on. Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, I want to hear your end, and then you can get my end of that game.
Well, every game, each coach had something different to do. So it wasn't my scout. I don't know whose scout it was. So that last timeout, I went to the scores table, checked the files, checked the, you know, timeouts. I come walking back, and Pat was there. I said, Pat, what are we in? He said, 1-3-1. I said, all right. And I could see where he drew it on the board. You were on the ball, right? You were on the ball. And then the three guys were like the 3-point line and one guy right across half court. So it didn't happen that way. Okay. And we don't know why. Okay. But it all happened. We lose. So I go, we go in the office on Monday, because I think it was Saturday we played. And a former coach, former Michigan coach, calls me that day. He said, John, what were you guys in at the last play? I said, 1-3-1. He goes, where was Stu supposed to be? I said, on the ball. He goes, did you see the film? I said, no, I didn't see the film. What are you talking about? He said, look at the TV clip. So Maddie's in my office. He said, pull up the last play, the TV clip. He goes, look at the bench. So at the bench, we break the huddle and we're all walking back. And there's one coach above us where we can't see who's telling everybody to move back. One coach telling you, you're going like this. Like, yeah. What? You were confused. You could tell your hands are up. You go, what? And so you move back.
Yes.
To the foul line. Yep. And everybody else moved back. So yep. I'm like, I'm going like this. I'm going, holy shit. I'm so pissed off. Because that isn't what it was. And when coach came out, he was looking down the other end. He never even looked there because he gave the board and just started to look down here. But go look at the last play and look at the bench. I ain't mentioning anybody's name.
I remember it perfectly. I can picture it right now. And because we had just, I think we'd put in the extended version of the 1-3-1 for this reason.
Yes.
And so this is like the first time we were ever going to, we employed it at all.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the wings were back too. I don't know why they were so far back.
Because somebody told them to go back seven times. 1, 2, 3. I counted.
So I went up and I shouldn't have done this. I knew it was right. And I looked over anyways. And it was so stupid because Ohio State was dumb. Like they weren't even setting up anything down court. It was the inbounder, Evan Turner, and then PJ something. And so the funny story, I don't know if you remember this, but they did, Ohio State was doing half court shots the day before. Mark Titus told the story. Like they were like messing around and seeing who was the best at doing half court shots, like kind of doing like end game scenarios. They were like practicing it. And that PJ kid with the dreads was the best one by far. And Evan Turner was horrible. Like he wasn't making any of them. So PJ was up there with Evan and Evan was like, he's Evan. So give me the ball. I don't care if PJ was hitting half court shots yesterday, but PJ was up there thinking he was maybe going to, you know, get some shots or get the ball. So anyways, I go up, it's just those three and they're like way close to the baseline. I go up and I look over the bench, like, can I pressure? I ask, like, can I pressure? And I never should have asked. And they said, no, get back. And I think it was Mike Jack that told me like to get back.
Nope.
I looked at.
Nope.
So as I was, as I was turning back, they inbounded the ball. PJ was right there and he was just enough in my way where I had to like banana curl around him. And that's when I met Evan at the half court line. And by that time it was too late. Yep. And if I had just stayed up there and made Evan like do one crossover, it would have been game over. And I'll never forget coming back to the locker room. It's so funny that a coach pointed that out to you. You saw it too. I come back to the locker room and Beeline's like, you know, don't blame yourself. And I almost lost my mind. And I was like, okay, cool. And walked out and I was like, blame myself. Like the whole time I was fuming because somebody told me to go back. And I was like, I knew I should have just stayed up there the whole time.
Hey, where you were. No, you look at the last play from the TV. I'm just going like this, but it wasn't none of their coaches on staff, but it's, that was, I couldn't believe it.
I'll have to look at it again.
We'd have been playing.
I appreciate, before we get you out of here, this was fantastic. I ask everybody this one question and you can answer however you want. And then we'll get you out of here. But I ask everyone, like, what is one thing that you learned at Michigan that you still carry with you to this day?
Oh man. Geez. One thing I learned at Michigan. What did I learn? The fight song.
God, the fight song.
After a while, it gets on your nerves.
Honestly.
But any fight song does. I don't know. It was great. It was a great place. I did. I learned a lot about myself. I think that's one thing that I did. That I grew as a coach and as a person, because that's the big stage. That's where you have to, you know, can you do it? And even though the way I had to leave wasn't the way I wanted to leave, it wasn't. I knew I could do it. I knew I had confidence that I could be at that level and do with recruit, coach, and all that on that stage. So my confidence, I get, but there was some great people, G Harden, and, you know, Lloyd Carr was great to me. And there was some really, really good people there.
Yeah.
That were good people.
Yeah. Good stuff.
What'd you learn?
Oh, everything.
One.
I mean, I've never looked at basketball the same. I've learned that, you know, I take all these personality tests and a lot of it comes back where, like, I am not type A and, like, very unstructured and, like, you know, being on time, like, kind of rigidity I don't really like. But then I realized, like, I do like structure. I like things to be, I like a good mesh of both. And, like, Michigan really, I realized that, like, I like a good structure and I like things being efficient. And so, yeah, I learned a lot about myself.
Organized too, being organized.
Yeah.
And I think Coach Beamer was really organized. And I used to love that, you know, if we used an hour and 48 minutes of our practice time, the 12 minutes would be added.
Oh, yeah.
We could work with.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your other coaches forget.
No, they're like, just, what? Like, what do you have a stopwatch? Like, what are you guys doing? But yeah, we were.
Or if we went over like two, if we went 2 hours and 5 minutes, we only had an hour and 55 next time.
No, I always made sure I was like, because he would say before, we're trying to go an hour and a half. And I'm like, I'm going to push it to an hour 45. Like, I'm getting that extra 15 minutes. I don't want to do something on the back end where you do like,
to
you know,
make us stay.
Just like talk at the end. Because if, like, if you're still in the huddle at the end of practice, that's still
he's
time.
He's counting it.
Yeah.
He was too much, though. He was good to do that. I learned a lot off of him, too. But,
for sure.
You know, good and bad. But, you know, you learn a lot about yourself. And I think that was good, too, though. So, I'd find a great people. You guys were great. You know, my first recruit was Ben Pools, Eric Pools. Remember Eric?
Yeah, of course.
Was he on your team for 1 year? Eric Pools from Alpena.
Yeah.
He called. I got him a walk-on before we started recruiting. I said, Coach, I just got a 6'8 kid. He's walking on. That's huge to get a 6'8 kid to walk on.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to walk on.
He was too smart. He couldn't play basketball because he was too smart.
Yeah, he had to go engineering or whatever.
Yeah.
Still keep in touch with him, too. So.
That's funny. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Kids are doing good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and staying patient through all the Zoom stuff.
I appreciate you having
a lot
me,
of fun.
This is awesome to catch up with you and see you. I'm really proud of you and what you've accomplished and what you've done. And, you know, tell your mom and dad we need to get a drink when they come down here to Florida.
I know they're dying for me and Chelsea to get down there. So if we're down there, I'll let you know.
Let me know. I'm not that far anymore. I love down there. We're in Inglewood. Inglewood Beach is very nice, too. It's very quiet. It's a little quieter for me than Anna Maria, but it's still, we found our spots, you know,
to
go hang out. I need to get away and find my spots. But I love it here. It's just, you know, you're like you're on vacation all the time. You know, it's just, you had to get used to that. But it's good. And everything else is good, too. And everyone's happy and healthy. So hopefully same to you, and wish you much happiness with you and your new bride.
Appreciate it. Yeah, no, this was great. We'll have to do it again and stay in touch. It's always been great to follow what you've been doing and, you know, get your messages and everything. And, you know, I retired and then starting this like podcast stuff. And I was like, man, I don't really talk to too many people, but like, I got my short list and you were on it. So
thanks. I was tough following Nancy.